KCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The first night of a curfew on anti-ICE protesters in downtown Los Angeles is about to be lifted. CBS's Elise Preston.
It has been the calmest we've seen it over the last several of days. Only a handful of National Guardsmen are standing by.
President Trump's just posted to Truth Social announcing a trade deal with China. He says the U.S. will get rare earth minerals. Tariffs on Chinese imports will go to 55%. U.S. Trade Rep Jamison Greer.
There are challenges that can't be eliminated in a couple of months, of course, but there are things we potentially could do.
Mr. Trump says the deal will allow Chinese students to attend U.S. universities. Hikers in Washington state say they may have spotted Travis Decker, the man wanted in the death of his three young daughters, their mother's attorney, Ariana Cozart.
This, I think, has really just devastated our community. But I think that that really is widespread, even across our country.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The race for governor in Wisconsin for 2026 is currently up in the air. Joanne Krulatz reports.
A breakdown in negotiations over a tax cut and other spending measures in Wisconsin threatens to put the 2026 race for governor on hold, with the Democratic incumbent saying he won't announce his decision on seeking a third term in the swing state until after a budget deal is done. Governor Tony Evers and Republicans who control the legislature have been meeting in private since April, trying to hammer out a deal ahead of the July 1st deadline. But those talks broke down late Wednesday. Wisconsin is poised to be in the national political spotlight again next year with the race for governor and a fight over control of the legislature.
And Dugan has raised a lot of dollars. Stuart J. Waddles tells us more about the fundraising efforts for a Milwaukee County judge.
With her July 21st trial approaching, Judge Hannah Dugan's legal team has raised nearly $138,000 from thousands of small donors. That's according to JS Online. Dugan is charged with concealing an individual to prevent arrest and obstruction. Prosecutors say she helped a man avoid immigration agents in her courthouse by escorting him out of a back door. Her attorneys have asked for charges to be thrown out, arguing she acted within her official judicial capacity.
Federal prosecutors on Monday argued for charges to proceed. And a pair of Northwest Wisconsin Republican lawmakers were seeking co-sponsors for a bill that would establish a new dairy farm innovation program, who say it would help small and medium family farms through a no-interest loan program. And milk producers with between 50 and 714 cows and no environmental enforcement actions against them in the past 5 years are eligible. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers battle back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers with a victory last night 4-1 to even their series with the Braves at one game apiece. The rubber match today. The homestand continues tomorrow night when the crew hosts the St. Louis Cardinals. NFL at the Packers minicamp. Quarterback Jordan Love was asked for his reaction to the team releasing Jair Alexander.
It's a tough one. You know, it's really tough losing a player Jair's caliber and someone that has been here since I got here. I've got nothing but love for Jair. Love my time being able to play with him, play against him every day. You know, he's a guy that made me better going against him. And we talk after practice a good amount just on what he's seeing with me. And, you know, someone who definitely believed in me from the get-go when I got my opportunity.
NBA Finals tonight in Indianapolis. The Pacers and the Thunder tied at one game apiece.
You know, I just got to figure out how to be better earlier in games. We can do a lot better job and see if we can get better, you know, going into game three.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy with more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Our high right around 75 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers, low of 52. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with some locally heavy rain and a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, it'll be this week's edition of Broad Appeal. I'll be talking with Tanya Atkinson, president of Planned Parenthood Advocates Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It's 8:06. It's nice to have you back here up north on this Wednesday morning, June 11th, 2025. Earl Ingram standing by, as is meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Also ahead, we'll be talking to Melissa Baldoff. We'll do our weekly climate check, talk about transportation. Sean Duffy trying to blow up, believe it's fuel efficiency and emission standards. And she'll also give her opinion on the new column by Dan Schaefer on whether Governor Tony Evers should run for a third term. He makes the case in the column why he thinks the governor should not run for a third term. And Melissa Baldoff, I believe, will not have a concurring opinion to that. Along the way, if you'd like to text the show, you can do so. Use that Civic Media app, or you can text 855-75-CIVIC and send us a message. On the app, you can also use that voice note feature and record a little something and send it to us as well. Or you can put a comment on Facebook or YouTube. I know earlier on we were talking about, you know, who has coffee and who doesn't have coffee, and Parker Olson's in Studio A2 right now telling us that he only has water, he only has turkey and cheese sandwiches for lunch. And I mentioned that I slurp coffee during the commercial breaks. Tony asks on YouTube, what does Parker do while Pat slurps coffee? Lap up water? I don't think you lap up the water. I'm pretty sure there's a water bottle involved in
this.
Yeah,
there's a bottle. Yeah.
Okay.
We're official here.
Okay, sounds good. So we've got Parker standing by and meteorologist Brittany Merlot joining us too to tell us about a forecast that is starting dry, but this is the last of the dry for a while here, Brittany.
It is, unfortunately, but it's a beautiful day today. I mean, don't forget the sunglasses. You can rock the shorts, the tank top, anything you want.
Right.
It is going to be fantastic, honestly, especially far southeast. You could hit 90 degrees today. That's not out of the question, but a lot of the state far south will be into those mid to upper 80s. Far north, how about those 70s? Still nice and comfortable. Plenty of sunshine out there, but also far north, some areas of wildfire smoke still kind of mixing in. So moderate levels there. And then as we go through this afternoon, pretty much late afternoon, early evening, a few more chances of sprinkles and showers start to move in. And then we've got heavier rain and thunder as we go through tonight and overnight for a majority of the state. Now, this is going to start to push into western areas around 5 or 6 o'clock tonight, spreading central around midnight and then moving south and staying south overnight and through tomorrow morning. But all of that rain is going to be lifting up to the north as we go through tomorrow into our Friday, and it's going to be heavy at times, or we could see anywhere from 1 to 2 inches in places. So flooding is not out of the question, especially as some of this rain gets heavy and soaking. It will leave the area by Saturday. We do have a dry weekend ahead, and temperatures, of course, getting a little cooler as all the clouds and the rain is here. But we'll get back to those 70s and 80s by the weekend.
All right. Robin Tigerton now has an 8 o'clock update on the weather there. Sunny and hazy and 63, up 6 degrees in just the past hour before he heads to 5 mowing jobs in the Tigerton area, a doctor's appointment in Shawano, and then more lawns to mow in Clintonville. At least the weather is nice, and he says he got hooked on coffee after appendix surgeries back in 1987. I noticed he said plural. I had plural appendix surgeries in 1986. Did not get hooked on coffee, but I learned that your appendix is nothing to mess around with. That thing, if it gets inflamed, not addressed right away, the infection can be super bad. I remember waking up from the first of the three surgeries, and I remember just this ICU nurse in Rice Lake greeting me with, you know, you could have died. Like, great, thanks. Happy to be back, you know. This clearly hasn't happened to either one of you. You don't have appendix stories to tell me about.
No, okay. Thankfully. I do have
a question for you, Brittany, and I'm going to ask Earl the same thing because we got Parker's take on it. Where does up north begin?
Oh, that is a tough one because, you know, I'm going to go hard because I live in Wausau, so I want to say 29, but I'm going to go with what I really believe, 8.
Highway 8. See, now that you won't go wrong with Highway 8. With 29, there's some places north or south that would make the case, but and I live on it, so I'll stick with it. But 8 really is a solid answer. You can't go wrong with that.
Is.
All right. Thank you, Brittany, very much. Appreciate it. Don't forget, you can get our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Multiple newsletters there now, a Sunday morning politics newsletter, a Saturday sports newsletter, and then, of course, our daily newsletter as well that Christina Laurie puts together. All kinds of good stuff in there, including this debate today on, you know, where is the Midwest? What states are included in the Midwest? What is not? And then also a story about progressive shopping brands. Some folks, they see some companies and they go, well, they donate to conservative causes and I don't want to patronize them. That's fine. That's your right. But maybe what would help is if you knew about the businesses and the brands that tend to support progressive causes and candidates. And there's a website that does that. And we've got a link to it in our newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. All right. I love Wednesdays because we get all kinds of great visits with civic media folks. I talked to James Kelly, who's covering stories in the northwestern part of the state. We had Melissa Kay on earlier from the Wisconsin Rapids area in southeast Wisconsin. We get to visit with Earl Ingram and talk about the stories that he's following. And Earl, as a Milwaukee fella, I know you don't get to ask this question very much, but as somebody who lived in Milwaukee for a time, I'm always fascinated by this. Asking people in Milwaukee, if you hear the phrase up north, where does up north begin in your mind when you're talking about the state of Wisconsin?
That's a question that it's clearly one that I don't have an answer to. I have not spent a lot of time in northern Wisconsin, or the majority of my life has been spent in the city of Milwaukee. I don't get up north.
I love the diplomatic way that you put it to say, Pat, there are 6,000 other things that I think about more often than what's up north. It's just not it's not something you debate the way they debate it up around here. That's for sure. But I thought it would be a fun thing to kick things off with, because there's a lot to follow in the Milwaukee area here that we want to get to this morning, not the least of which, and we've talked about so many different ways that the Trump Republican House budget would, you know, do real damage to Wisconsin, to the economy, to families, to people, not the least of which is the closing of Job Corps centers around the country. You've got a U.S. Department of Labor that funds over 100 of them around the country. They're contractor operated, where people from lower income families, the ages of 16 to 24, can work to get their diploma and job training. They could even, in some cases, live on site for free. And the Trump big bloated boondoggle of a budget would close down and severely curtail the ability of these Job Corps centers to work. And Earl, I imagine that is not going over well for the Milwaukee Job Corps Center as well.
It clearly is not. There's over 120 people who are employed there. First off, good morning.
Thank you.
There's over 120 people who are employed there. When it was first being built, then Mayor Tom Barrett was the guy who ushered it in. It certainly has a major presence in the community where it's located. Done some great things, but as you stated, over 60,000 young people are being supported by Job Corps. It clearly offers them a respite, an opportunity to maybe recalibrate. Maybe things hadn't gone in the right direction, but the short-sightedness of these types of decisions that are being made, these in many instances are young people who have run into a little trouble along the way. Nothing serious, nothing major. Maybe didn't do all the things that they should have done when they were in school. And so instead of preparing those young people and making sure that those young people become productive citizens, which is what the Job Corps does, they are now looking to cut these programs, which is going to force those young people who clearly some of them have had some troubles early in life to the street. And the cost associated with locking them up far outweighs the cost that's going to be spent in keeping those Job Corps centers open. It's another one of those things that I think is just tantamount to just criminal behavior on behalf of the President of the United States.
Oh, yeah. And in so doing is really kind of cherry picking or skewing the numbers of Job Corps history. A story by Wisconsin Public Radio notes that there were 224 students at the Milwaukee Job Corps Center in 2023. 63 graduated. And you can look at that either way. You can say, well, 63 out of 224, you know, what kind of a record is that? Here's what it is. It's 63 more who graduated who would not have graduated and are going to be in the workforce and taxpayers that otherwise wouldn't be. And so you can either build on that success, and yes, that is success. You build on that success and you address, you know, safety infractions and disciplinary problems, or you do what Trump wants to do. You take a wrecking ball to it with, you know, undoing all the progress that you could have made and all the progress you could have built on.
Well, I would say that if you're concerned about saving money, why don't you start with the amount of money that's going to be wasted on the military parade? I'm yeah. sure that money would be better spent in doing what they possibly can to make sure the young people get a fair shot in this society. I'd also say that, yes, somewhere around along the way in 1964, the people who thought this was a laudable operation, and it's been certainly going strong in all of these decades, what does Trump know that they didn't know? And I would also state that, you know, there are ups and downs in everything, in every aspect of life. And so maybe in this instance, 64 out of 220 at this point in time might be what the ledger says. But that clearly has not been the ledger on Job Corps and the impact that it's had, not just in the city of Milwaukee, but across this nation.
Without a doubt. And again, that's something that you can choose to build upon or tear down. Right now, the president has made his choice, although thankfully a judge has put a stop to that, at least temporarily, while the appeals work their way through the courts. And so they have to remain open until a future ruling. But we don't know how long that pause is going to last and the good work that can be done. Off the text line from Jim in Brookfield, always great to hear and see on YouTube Earl on the show. His perspectives on Southeast Wisconsin issues is an important part of civic media. So Jim in Brookfield, thank you much for that. We're talking to Earl Ingram out of the Milwaukee area about some of the stories that he's following here for civic media. Let me give you a quick sports update here at 8:19. We're the Milwaukee Brewers. So far, have picked up one game with Atlanta after winning last night. 4-1, Jackson Churio and Jake Bowers hit home runs. Quinn Priester struck out 7 across 6 strong innings in that 4-1 victory. Trevor Megill pitched the 9th for his 13th save in 15 tries. They will do it again this afternoon, starting at 12:35, the rubber game of that series, Brewers versus Atlanta, across several stations in the Civic Media Radio Network. Head to the Civic Media website to learn more. Thanks for joining us live from Lake Wissota, a great place to spend part of your mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Life is so strange when you don't know how can you tell where you're going to. You can't be sure of any situation. Something could change and then you won't know.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Again, a beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin. Temperature now up to 64 degrees under sunny skies. Again, enjoy it now because we're going to start to get wet. It's going to start to get wet for a number of days. So be prepared. Get out there if you have a chance early on today to enjoy what is happening weather-wise. We'll have more details on that coming up. Also coming up will be more with Pat Kreitlow. And, of course, coming up in just a few minutes, he'll be joined by Melissa Baldoff after our information update at the bottom of the hour as well. Real quick Central Wisconsin sports update. Yesterday, there were a lot of area teams hoping to punch their tickets to the WIAA state baseball tournament next week in Grand Chute. I was over in Augusta for a Division III sectional as the Marathon Red Raiders were involved. In the semifinal, Marathon fell to Elk Mound by a score of 11-1. So still a terrific year for Marathon, but come up short of state, Marathon finishes up with a record of 20 wins and 7 losses. Barron then beat Elk Mound in the championship game of that bracket 12-11. So Barron wins that sectional and heads to the state. In Division I, the DC Evergreens were hoping to make it to Appleton, but in the end, in the sectional semifinal down in Stevens Point, the Evergreens fell to Eau Claire North by a score of 9-6. Also, I mentioned Marathon in Division III. Also in Division III, hoping to make state, was Wittenberg-Burnerwood. Chargers won their sectional semifinal against Oconto 3-0, but then came up just short in the final, losing to Kewaunee by a score of 6-5. Mosinee in Division II. They got a win in the sectional semifinals in Merrill yesterday, beating Medford 7-2. But then in a nip-and-tuck affair, Mosinee had the potential tying run in scoring position in both the 6th and the 7th innings, but not able to get the big hit, and they fell to La Crosse Aquinas by a score of 6-1. Edgar, in Division 4, is heading to state. Edgar defeated Rib Lake 8-1, and then Solon Springs 14-1 to earn another trip to Fox City Stadium next week. And Pacelli is heading to state as well. They beat Gibraltar, Washington Island 6-3, and Lena 8-1 to put themselves in the state tournament next week as well. The WIAA State Softball Tournament begins today. Division I quarterfinal action at Goodman Field in Madison. Historic day for the DC Everest girls softball team as they are making their first trip ever to the state tournament. They'll be in the fourth and final game today. At 6:30 tonight, they will take on Watertown in a D1 quarterfinal. Other Division I quarterfinals today, Kaukauna takes on Sun Prairie East at 11 a.m., Milwaukee-Hamilton against Oregon at 1 p.m., Kenosha-Bradford against Cedarburg at 4 p.m. as well. Also, there was a little history made yesterday in Wausau. The Wausau Ignite softball team played their first ever game as part of the new Northwoods League softball for the girls. The Ignite, they won their inaugural game 13-2 over the La Crosse Steam at Athletic Park. So congratulations to Wausau Ignite for getting off to a good start. Wausau Woodchucks also victorious last night. They were on the road. They beat the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders by a score of 7-5. You know, some of those names, they're really digging in deep to get some of those names these days.
They certainly are.
I'm not a big fan of names that don't have an S, but there's a few that work. But I tend to be traditional when it comes to names. But we see a lot more names nowadays with new teams that involve no S. In fact, there's a new team in Utah for the National Hockey League. They had moved from Phoenix, Arizona this year, and they didn't have a nickname. They just called themselves the Utah Hockey Club this year, but they now have a name, and it's called Mammoth. You know, this mystical...
No S.
No S.
Mammoth.
But it's like abominable snowman, a mammoth. But so again, it's like I think nowadays when you get a new nickname, more often than not, you're going to have no S on it. It just seems to be the pattern these days. So.
Yeah.
But congrats to the Ignite. And if you have a chance, get out there to Athletic Park and check out some of that Northwoods League softball action. They're able to do it now at Athletic Park because they put in artificial turf this year. So for both the baseball and the softball, it's on artificial turf for the first time at Athletic Park as well.
There you go.
Speaking of historic and broadcast and softball, tonight we'll have our first ever American Legion softball broadcast here on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. It will be Wausau Post 10, the Patriots, playing their first game of the year at Sunnyvale Softball Complex against Medford. And we will have live coverage tonight, starting with the pregame show at 7:20 and the first pitch at 7:30. So hopefully you can join us for American Legion softball action tonight. We will have 6 broadcasts during the regular season and potentially some in the postseason as well here on 98.9 WXCO. Coming up at the end of the show, we'll have our daily number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh. Ian is
0-2 this one.
0-2 I got some work to do.
All right. Well, I think we'll give you a good one here today.
Okay.
The topic will be E.T.
E.T.
I think you're probably a fan of E.T., aren't you?
The movie, right?
That's what I'm talking about? The movie.
Yeah, it's a classic movie.
So
I grew up with that movie.
There you go. So hopefully you'll know what the number of the day is involving E.T. So that is coming up.
Awesome.
In a little more than 20 minutes. We'll be back at 8:52. But coming up next, Pat Kreitlow will be back, and Pat will be talking to Melissa Baldoff. She'll be the guest coming up after an information update. The time is 8:29, 64 degrees here in downtown Wausau. Pat Kreitlow in Mornings with Pat here on 98.9 WXCO.
Falls Radio, WXCO. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Public News Service says Southwest Wisconsin is seeing an increase in clean energy. Those in favor say these large-scale renewable projects are economically beneficial for the community. Around 10% of electricity in Wisconsin comes from renewable sources, which includes biofuels, wind, and solar. Roughly 6,500 people work in the industry, which invests $15.5 million a year in property, state, and local taxes, and more than $15 million annually in land lease payments. Critics argue the renewable energy replaces some of the state's agricultural uses, and those in favor claim less than 2% of Wisconsin's AG land is needed to reach the state's clean energy goals. And the CDC says you should still get an updated COVID-19 vaccination, despite the guidance changes. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Lisa Hale tells us more.
State health officials say the updated vaccine can help protect against severe cases of COVID-19, especially in pregnant women, infants, and elderly residents. DHS Secretary Kirsten Johnson says the updated vaccine was thoroughly reviewed for safety and effectiveness and encourages residents to consult their health care providers on getting the updated vaccine.
And the DHS is warning residents of a slight increase in tick activity so far this year. Officials say a few reasons for the increase include a growing tick population over the recent years, improved tick reporting of tick-related illnesses, and residents spending more time outside. They're also warning about the increased prevalence of deer ticks, with nearly 6,400 cases of Lyme disease reported in 2023. So you should be on the lookout for signs of ticks when outdoors and take precautions like wearing long pants and sleeves. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. God has apparently taken a break from helping athletes win games and is focused on Hollywood. According to the Crazy Town Tribune, comedian actress Roseanne Barr is claiming God is the one who told her to send a racist tweet in 2018 that ended up getting her fired from The Conners, which was a reboot of her previous show, Roseanne. Barr says God, by telling her to tweet, helped her wake up, enabling her to be fired from The Conners because she was having nightmares about the show. So God wanted her to send a racist tweet. God still apparently made The Conners quite successful without her, which is odd. If you're like me, you're wondering what exactly is God's angle here, as the Supreme Being remained pretty hands-off when it came to other sitcoms like Seinfeld or Modern Family. Barr also admitted to being on a mixture of Ambien and alcohol on the night of the tweet, which probably made it a little harder for God to wake her. Folks, apologies are out, and nowadays it's about the double down, and this is one of the most convoluted I've ever seen. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlife with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be partly cloudy with more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires today. Our high right around 75 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers, low of 52. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunderstorms with some locally heavy rain and a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds.
you stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
State's Eric Kelder Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it's a new way to teach kids math. Maybe Greg and I will learn how to add. Also, Rich Smith from the 6th Street Theater will be here. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Well, we are about 25 minutes away from Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair, Greg Bach. All coming up during the 10 a.m. hour, they're going to talk to a principal about the radical improvement in his school's math scores over the past few years and how they did it. And, of course, they wrap up with their regular feature, This Shouldn't Be a Thing. That's part of Matinair on Air coming up next year across the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, we've talked about this column from Dan Schaefer for some time now, and it's out. He came out yesterday afternoon, and he first talked about it, filling in along with Angela Lang for Maggie Dawn. And he, Dan Schaefer, will again be appearing with Todd Allbaugh later today at about 2:30 about his column. So let's get to the column. And then we're going to welcome Melissa Baldoff in. The headline is, Pass the Torch, Tony Evers Should Not Run for a Third Term as Governor. And he starts, Tony Evers has been a very good governor for the state of Wisconsin. You could even argue that he's been great, given the perilous moment in American democracy that has surrounded his time in office. He's been a central figure in Wisconsin's crawl back from the disastrous Scott Walker years and a bulwark against the heavily gerrymandered, hard-right, Republican-controlled legislature. And he goes on and on and on to explain all of the things that have made Tony Evers a very good governor. And then says, all things must pass. Tony Evers should not seek a third term as governor. It's time for him to do what so many Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. For the 73-year-old governor approaching a critical moment in his second term with 2026 and the midterms on the horizon, the time is right now. And he gets into age considerations. Obviously, a lot is said here about Joe Biden. A lot is said about other Democratic leaders who have served well into their 70s or 80s, while other potential younger leaders have not been able to fill the void. So there is a lot to be said on either side of these ledgers. I'm not going to be one that's saying this or that. I'm here to simply facilitate the conversation. I'm sure Dan will be back here. But trust me, I put this thing up on my Facebook page, and there was some spirited responses right away. Here's one of those spirited responders right now, Melissa Baldoff, who has her climate check, but also is a former advisor to Governor Evers. Melissa, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing all right. I'm glad we're going to get a couple minutes to talk about this here. And, I said this on your, commented on your Facebook post, and I'll say it again here. I have known and worked with Dan for years, and I really appreciate what he's doing with the Recombobulation area. I have the utmost respect for him, personally and professionally. But, even our friends get it wrong sometimes. And I think Dan's really got it wrong here. Not only do I just disagree with the take, I think it is just a gift to Republicans who want to see a fight among Democrats. They want to see disunity. They want us to be divided and attacking one another. And it's, an attack that they want to make as well. So I think that this is, giving them a gift for one. And I think that the broader concern, setting aside what Republicans are going to do, because we know we have some ideas about what they're going to do. This is, I think, you know, kind of flies in the face of what we think, you know, what we can kind of expect from voters and what we're seeing already, what we're hearing already, that with all of the chaos happening in DC, you know, you see with, you know, Trump and his very public breakup with Elon Musk and all that's going on with that, no expectation that things are going to get calm and sane and easy and rational and effective anywhere around the White House anytime soon. People are really going to be looking for calm, steady, trusted leadership at the state level. And that's what they're going to get with Tony Evers. That's what they've always gotten from Governor Evers. There is a reason that since he was elected, he has been the most popular and the most trusted elected official in the state of Wisconsin when you look at Marquette polling. So I think that is something that we really have to take into account here. We're also, you know, I know that there were comparisons to other leaders. And look, I am somebody who works very hard to ensure that the people representing us are less old, male, straight, and white. And I get it. And I understand, you know, I understand where the conversation is coming from. But I think on this particular one, I think it's it just misses the mark.
It was always going to be talked about this weekend at the state Democratic convention, regardless. I obviously even more so now. I think people were holding back, and you know, Dan has definitely found a way to be a conversation starter on this. But again, the governor's made very clear he's going to decide after the budget's all done, and then make his announcement. I don't know that anything that's said or done this weekend is necessarily going to accelerate that timeline. Do you?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that like you said, the governor's been pretty clear. And at the same time, though, you know, I in my experience working for him and you know, what I've seen from him publicly and privately, he's a very honest dealer. And if something were to change his timeline for some reason, I think he'd be very transparent with people about that and, you know, what the reason was for that. But I think we have every reason to trust him when he says he's going to make a decision after the budget.
All right. Well, we'll have a lot to talk about that 7 days from now after the state Democratic convention, and we see what
I happens. I think I'll have a lot to say after the state Democratic convention.
I think you will, because there's also that chairs race that's going on. There's that guy under your roof who's running along with two other candidates. It's going to be
of course I have the personal interest there, but also as a, you know, former party staffer for a number of years, you know, it's always fun and interesting to come back and watch how things change and how the process goes. So it's a different perspective when you attend, not as a, you know, staff for the party. Right.
Yes. You're much more of a kind of like a free agent, shall we say, and can be as candid exactly as you want to be. And we appreciate that here on this program very, very much. Let's turn a little bit to climate issues here. And, you know, whether we like it or not, we have to once again point out some of the things that may not necessarily be good for the climate, including Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy saying that Biden era rules were illegal in terms of fuel economy standards for gas powered cars and trucks, and they are moving to reverse them, paving the way for a new set of rules, which I haven't read that deep into it as to what the new rules will be. But if you told me Sean Duffy wanted to put a coal burner in every car with smokestacks, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. A little bit of hyperbole, but clearly very little concern about, you know, the quality of the air we breathe when it comes to, you know, the cars that we drive.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you're exaggerating all that much about Sean Duffy putting, you know, wanting to burn coal out of every vehicle. So I don't know that that's all that much of an exaggeration. I think this is just, you know, another example of how everyone in Donald Trump's circle is, for one, you know, completely inept and, you know, largely unqualified for the jobs they are doing. So that's one thing I'll point out. But also just that they are so beholden to him and his whims and whatever he wants to do to reward his donors and people he thinks can benefit him personally. You know, that's always going to be the priority, never what's best for the American people. And, you know, I would think that, you know, with everything going on, that we would want to have a competent and capable transportation secretary to be on top of, like, oh, I don't know, maybe the airline industry that they're ruining, that Sean Duffy, you know, would have some other things that he could be focused on other than, you know, trying to just completely erase our progress when it comes to electrifying vehicles and, you know, getting more, you know, reducing pollution. So, you know, it seems like there are other things he should be working on. It doesn't surprise me that this is coming, you know, as the Trump-Musk fight continues to escalate. You know, it seems like it's, you know, just like trying to be another to get Elon Musk that they're getting out here like this. So, I think that it's going to continue to be a challenge for us all as we see just the insanity coming out of this administration.
Yeah. Under the Biden administration, automakers would have been required to average, and again, the key word here is average, about 50 miles a gallon by 2031, up from 39 miles a gallon for light duty vehicles today. And again, that means you combine gas powered and EV and you look at the average. And by going in that direction, we would have saved 70 billion gallons of gasoline through 2050. That much less that would have been burned and put into the atmosphere. And once again, Duffy and Trump continue to, shall we say, lie about the EV mandate. We always hear about this EV mandate. There is no federal policy that requires auto companies to sell EVs. There's no mandate for car buyers to purchase EVs. But with these fuel economy standards in place, it certainly provides that incentive to make more of your vehicles EV, cleaner burning, you know, and something attractive for the American consumer. And again, this was only going to be good for business, for car makers, as well as for the climate. But again, Trump and Duffy, you know, would rather take the side of big oil every time.
Absolutely. And, you know, these rules, like you said, you know, would have, you know, it would save almost 70 billion gallons of gas, like you said, through 2050. But it's important to note that this is phased in really slowly. This is, you know, not saying just overnight, this has to get there. This is something that the rules are increasing fuel economy 2% a year. So, I mean, this is something that is very achievable. This is something that is not, you know, just like an overnight flip the switch. This is something that definitely would be very achievable and would be something that is going to help lower costs for people, make us healthier. So it's just really, you know, disappointing to see.
Yeah. Again, just no good reason for it. But we could say that about a whole lot of things here. And I sense that we probably will continue to do that. Melissa Baldoff, thank you for the climate check. Thank you for the insight on the Dan Schaefer column. And we'll definitely have some post-game analysis of the Democratic convention next week. So we'll talk to you then.
I'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. Again, coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll have State Senate Democratic Leader Dianne Hesselbein about some of the proposals that Democrats have put forward in the legislature and an update on the state budget process and Republicans walking away from the negotiating table with Governor Evers. Also, Sean O'Malley will have your money in the markets right before the opening bell on Wall Street. And I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks again for tuning in. Remember, get what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. Sign up for our newsletters there. We'd love to have you a subscriber through Spotify as well. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on air.
Rick Reed is here, an economics instructor.
Remember the film, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A driver is riding parallel to him and honking their horn saying, you're going the wrong way. And Candy and Steve Martin go, ha, 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 how do they know where we're headed? Congress and the administration are saying, this is what we're going to do for our budget. But at the end of the day, the Congressional Budget Office basically said that bill is going to create another $3.8 trillion in debt over the next 10 years.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The soap scientists have found a way to incorporate Sydney Sweeney's actual bathwater into the soap. What if she doesn't smell good? I know she's beautiful.
It smells terrible.
What if she stinks? And no one is going to tell her that because she's Sydney Sweeney. Here's an open invitation to Sydney Sweeney. Come by the Nightlight Studios. I'll smell you and let you know if this is a good product.
Maybe drop off, you know.
And give us a few bucks.
Yeah. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 8:53, currently 65 degrees under partly sunny skies at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. With Ian Welsh, I am Chad Holmes. Real quickly, tomorrow we will be joined in studio by the chairperson of the Marathon County Democratic Party. Nancy Stensel will be with us in the first hour of the program. Also, we'll be talking about the No Kings rally. That'll be coming up again on Saturday. In fact, this No Kings rally is part of, there will be millions of people around the country at different No Kings rallies on Saturday for a number of different reasons. One of the reasons is on Saturday, Donald Trump has planned out his military parade, spending millions and millions of dollars to glorify himself
you know, a parade that looks like a dictatorship parade. It's occurring on Donald J. Trump's birthday as well. So while Donald is celebrating his birthday by being a wannabe dictator with the military marching in front of him on Saturday, people all around the country in hundreds of different locations will be holding what's called No Kings Rally. And here, it will be hosted by North Central Wisconsin Indivisible. It will be at Rib Mountain Drive on the sidewalk between Parrot Lane and Starling Lane from 12 noon until 2 p.m. It is, again, a chance to show what democracy looks like, not dictatorship. It's a day to actually focus on what's important on Flag Day, which is Saturday. Flag Day, Saturday. Mm-hmm. Not Dictator Day, not Donald Trump's birthday celebration, but mm-hmm. Flag Day. It's a chance to respect our country, not respect Donald Trump, not to glorify Donald Trump. So, again, it's a chance to come together, show love for the country, our flag, our freedoms, and the respect our veterans and United States Armed Forces deserve.
Absolutely.
It is a nonviolent event. And as much as people like Donald Trump and Chris Conley try to lie about what some of these events are, they're not violent events. They're nonviolent events. It's nonviolent action. It's something that's been done in this country for generations. It's a chance to say, no, we are not going to let Donald Trump slide this country into dictatorship. The organization says, we expect all participants to seek to de-escalate any potential confrontation with those who disagree with our values and to act lawfully at these events. Weapons of any kind, including those legally permitted, should not be brought to the event. So, again, we'll get more on this event and other activities going on. In fact, coming up this weekend, the state Democratic Party is holding its convention, and they will elect a new party chairperson. Ben Wickler has stepped down, and there is a battle between three different candidates, and we'll talk to Nancy Stencil about that as well tomorrow during the program, during our local segments of the program. Of course, we are with you at 22 and 52 after the hour during the 7 and 8 o'clock hours here on 98.9 WXCO. So, again, I think Saturday is important. I think it is time for a massive crowd to form, not just here in North Central Wisconsin, but throughout the country, in order to say enough. I mean, during these Los Angeles protests, you got the press being targeted by some of Trump's thugs. At least two dozen journalists have been injured or harmed while covering the protests in downtown Los Angeles.
That's terrible.
And the situation has prompted widespread condemnation from press freedom groups. Police cannot pick and choose when the First Amendment applies, National Press Club President Mike Balasamo said.
Absolutely.
Journalists in Los Angeles were not caught in the crossfire. They were targeted. And that's, again, what's happening here. Mm-hmm. And while so-called media person Chris Conley says, let the heads be banged together, let the blood flow in the streets, this is what's going on. It's time to stand up. And we're going to have more tomorrow because ABC fired Terry Moran for saying that Donald Trump and Stephen Miller are hate-filled when it's true. Yes. Going to have more on that tomorrow. So, a lot to talk about every single day, and we're going to try to give you the truth as we know it each and every single day here on 98.9 WXCO.
We will.
But let's finish up with a little bit more lighthearted discussion.
Yeah. It's a beautiful day. So let's get started with the number of the day.
Let's do it. As our number for the day quiz, we do it with Ian to wrap things up each and every weekday. He's been on a bit of a cold streak recently. Yeah. Last week and now this week. 0 for 2 this week. So you got to get going here.
I really got to focus.
Yep, you got to focus. So again, our topic is
E.T.
E.T.
Classic piece of filmmaking.
Absolutely. It was on this date in history, on June the 11th, that director Steven Spielberg introduced his classic science fiction film E.T. the Extraterrestrial to film audiences around the globe. How many years ago did E.T. hit the screens on this date, June the 11th? How many years ago was E.T. finally hitting the screens?
All right, what are my choices?
Your choices are 43 years, 53 years, 63 years.
43, 53.
So how many years ago did E.T. hit the screens here in the United States and around the world?
Oh, I know my mom is sending me positive vibes, so I gotta make sure I do her proud. 43, 53, or 63. Okay, I'm gonna say, and I go with my gut here, I'm gonna say 43 years.
All right. Now your final answer? 43
is my final answer.
Director Steven Spielberg's classic science fiction film E.T. the Extraterrestrial premiered on June the 11th of 1982. So that is 43 years ago today.
Yes.
So you're back to for three.
Oh.
All right. Relief. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.
You too, Chad. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
And we'll be back tomorrow morning. Keep it right here. Matt and Air on Air coming up next on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump says the U.S. and China have sealed a trade deal, with the U.S. getting magnets and rare earth minerals from China and tariffs on Chinese imports set at 55%. Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick.
I think what happens is when you put President Xi and President Trump on the phone together, it changes the outcome.
Rising food prices blamed for a 0.1% increase in inflation from April to May. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
I don't think this report gives us a big clue about what's going to happen with prices with the tariffs in place. We are expecting prices for goods, not services, but goods, to start to increase.
The streets of downtown L.A. quiet on the first night of a curfew intended to tame anti-ICE demonstrators. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti.
I can tell you overnight much calmer than previous evenings, though police reporting that dozens of people were arrested.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.